All right, if you have a Bible, go ahead and open in your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 20, beginning of verse 28. If you are using a black Bible, I actually have a page number. That's on page 930 in a black pew Bible, church Bible. Acts chapter 20. If you were at our members meeting last Sunday, you'll know that we nominated Joe Stachowski for the office of elder here at Three Crosses Church. Joey, would you just raise your hand? People know who you are. That's Joe Stachowski. And we nominated him for elder. We'll be voting on that at our January members meeting. And since we're kind of in between series, we finished up books of 1 and 2 Kings. It's not quite Christmas. I thought this would be a great opportunity to just address what does the Bible say about elders. You'll find that word all over the New Testament. And I don't take it for granted that we know what that means or what the Bible teaches about it. What do elders do? What is a church's responsibility as pertains to biblical eldership? How do we order our lives rightly in light of God's word? Those are sort of things we're going to be talking about today. But actually, what I really want to talk about is one level deeper still, and that is this. It's how eldership relates to Jesus and the gospel. In fact, as I thought about it, this is actually the perfect message to bring after finishing the books of 1 and 2 Kings. Some of you know that before David was king, what was his occupation? What was his profession? He was a shepherd, right? He was, to use a modern idiom, he was a pastor. He cared for sheep, and God lifted him up, made him king of Israel, and he glorified God in that role because, unlike so many kings that would come after him, he was a shepherd king. That he cared for people. He loved people for the sake of God. And following David, we've just seen a whole year's worth of bad kings that were not shepherd kings. But in places like Ezekiel 34, I'm not going to take time to turn there now. Maybe make a note in your notes if you're taking notes. God says he's going to do something awesome. That he's going to judge the unfaithful shepherds and come himself and be the shepherd for his people Israel. He also says in Ezekiel 34 that he's going to bring back a new David to be a shepherd king over his people Israel. Ezekiel 34, 22 to 24. It's not only about a restoration of kings in David's line following the exile, but with that restoration, a restoration of shepherding among God's people and for their good. Truly, this is a gospel promise that the restoration of a king and the restoration of shepherding, well, this has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so today, if you want a title for this sermon, I'm going to call it The Gospel of Church Leadership. The Gospel of Church Leadership. So bear with me as we go. And before we pray and read the scripture, can you click up that slide? A note about terminology, and this is really important. Can we read that? Is it big enough to read? The Bible, New Testament, uses three different terms to refer to the same office of church leadership. In some places, you see pastor or shepherd. That's actually one of the more rare ones, although in English usage, that's our most common. But to refer to the same thing, it also uses the term overseer in the ESV, or in other places, it uses the term elder. That's probably the most common term you're going to find in the New Testament. You see, that has the most scripture references associated with it. But the key thing that I want you to just get right at the outset is that these are not three different things, but three different terms for the same things, which you see in the Venn diagram and the overlap of the circles. So 1 Peter 2:25 actually refers to Jesus as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. It's two terms for the same work. Or 1 Peter 1:5 is a great passage where you use the term elder and overseer and shepherd all in one little passage. Similarly, Acts chapter 20, you can make the slide go away. Get the point I'm trying to make? Three terms, one office. And we see this actually in Acts 20. If you have your Bibles open, let's read. Paul is ending his third missionary journey. He's passing near Ephesus. He calls to him who? He calls the elders of the church of Ephesus, verse 17, and I'm going to pick up there in verse 28, midway through the chapter. to these elders, he gives this command. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To care for, literally, to shepherd in Greek, the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray that you would illumine our minds, transform our hearts, and fill us with a vision for your greatness and glory in Jesus. Amen. Part of the reason we have sermons like this, sort of one-off topical sermons, is that I don't assume that anybody actually has a biblical understanding of what the Bible says when it talks about pastors or elders. Hopefully you do, but I don't assume that to be the case. In fact, as I think about where elder or pastor, let alone bishop, wherever that came from, is used in contemporary culture, there's all sorts of bad models and bad cues that you're going to be getting. Here's some examples. I think for most people, you hear the word elder, what do you think? Those nice young men in fancy suits knocking at your door and offering out the Book of Mormon, right? I think that is our most common everyday interaction with an elder, although they're not old. It's kind of odd. Maybe you're a person that likes to watch BBC British dramas, right? What do you think of when you think of elders or pastors? If they're not utter fools, like in Sense and Sensibility, well, then they're probably brilliant detectives that are using their spare time to solve crimes and murder mysteries in their community. Sometimes I get phone calls throughout the week, and I would think, somebody calls my phone, wants to talk to the pastor, somebody from our community. And the implication I get is they think of me as the treasurer of the community chest, of a benevolence fund that's just ready to make grants and give out money to people in need. Other people that are a little more traditional, what is a pastor, what is an elder? Somebody that is in charge of marrying and burying people and administrating the sacraments. Maybe you're skeptical. Maybe you're not a believer here today. You think about, what does a pastor do? Well, that's a failure that couldn't make it as anything else, so they got into ministry. Now, praise God, we haven't just read better in the New Testament, although I hope you have, but we've actually seen better in our life experience. I know I have, that what the New Testament is talking about makes sense to me in part because God has been gracious to me in my experience and put me in healthy churches that had a healthy and biblical practice of elders, eldership. I think about, here's a few names that won't mean anything to most of you. Spencer DeBerg. I became a Christian. Somebody invited me to church, and there was a youth pastor, Spencer DeBerg, that opened the Word of God to me Wednesday after Wednesday, and it was electric. I can still remember his messages in that youth group. I don't remember the games we played, but I remembered what he taught me from God's Word. I think of a man named Phil Kemp. If you Google him, you won't find him probably as a staff member of any church, but you'll find maybe he's the state toxicologist for the state of Oklahoma. But he was a volunteer pastor, a volunteer elder at Melissa and I's church in Oklahoma. A godly man, full of love, that when Melissa was a student, took her into his home so she would have a family away from her family. And when our relationship began to move towards engagement, took me into his family as well, cared for me, met with me, counseled me, opened the Word of God with me. Think about another name some of you may know, Paul Rees, former pastor at Christ the Redeemer Church, who mentored me, who really lived out 2 Timothy 2:2, passing on to me the faithful apostolic gospel so that I would be able to teach others as well. I could go on and on. I have been blessed by having known many faithful pastor elders, overseers. Whether we're talking about people that are paid or unpaid, full-time or part-time, when we talk about pastor, elder, or overseer, we are talking about shepherds. We're talking about shepherds. We're talking about men who devote themselves to feeding and guiding and caring for souls with the Word of God. Here's a quote from a book I read on shepherding that was impactful for me. And really, I want to spend the rest of our time this morning unpacking this quote. The author says this: shepherding, first through Jesus, and that's important, then through the apostles, and now through qualified pastor elders, is a perpetual ministry that Jesus intended for his flock. Shepherding is a perpetual ministry that Jesus intended for his flock. And let's start this by talking about Jesus. Jesus is the great shepherd of God's sheep. If you missed that, I don't know, you've never noticed that. All over the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as a shepherd of people. I think by trade, he was a carpenter, right? At least his dad was. But by calling by God, he was a shepherd of people's souls. The great shepherd is a phrase taken from Hebrews 13:20, but the principle is plain across the New Testament. In other words, he is like a shepherd to sheep. Jesus is to people a protector, a helper, one who leads you to clean water. He leads and feeds and protects. He knows his sheep intimately. In fact, I want to read a quick cross-reference. This is from John chapter 10. I'm going to read 10 and 11 and then 14 and 15. Listen to how Jesus talks about himself. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I'm going to skip forward just to verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." You don't have to be a herder or grow up in an agricultural community or join 4-H to know what Jesus is talking about. He cares for people like a shepherd cares for his sheep. A compassionate leader that looks out for his flock even at the cost of his own life. And it did cost him his own life. For Jesus to be our good shepherd required that he lay down his life for us and die in our place. Now, I was trying to imagine how all this would sound if you were out there in the audience today and you were not a Christian. I think this would sound passing strange. That Jesus, who we acknowledge lived and died about 2,000 years ago, is a present and lived reality in the life of his people. You might say, if that's you, I respect Jesus. I think he was an important historical figure. He said some interesting things that were helpful. But involved in our lives today, I have no idea what you're talking about. That doesn't make any sense. That just sounds like religious, you know, nonsense. Well, I want you to consider for a moment a possibility that maybe it's not just religious nonsense. That maybe there's an explanation why, if you're not a Christian, you're not experiencing Jesus in your life as a shepherd. And in fact, Jesus tells us, again, from John chapter 10. This is John 10, 26. He says, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Could it be that you are missing Jesus because you have never yet become part of his sheep. Maybe God brought you here today for that exact purpose, that you would realize that is my problem beneath all the other problems. I am not part of Jesus' flock. I want to ask you, maybe if you have the honesty to admit it, am I lost? I'm not talking about your social media self and the good foot you put forward to show the world, but who you honestly are when no one else is around. Are you lost? Because Jesus is a great shepherd and a good shepherd, and he calls you to himself, and you could become part of his flock and know him as shepherd, even today, by repenting of sin and putting your faith in him. Now, thankfully, I think others, most of you know exactly what I'm talking about, what the Bible's talking about, when it talks about Jesus as our good shepherd. Since you repented of your sins, what has Jesus done in your life? He answers prayer. He gives you strength when you're at the end of yourself. He changes the desires of your heart towards good things, guides your decisions. He's a person that we know and relate to. He's a good shepherd. His love and sacrifice and present ministry are part of the goodness that he pours out on our life. So granted that Jesus is a great shepherd, that we can know and experience and walk with, you might conclude that, well, I'm all set. Christianity is just about me and Jesus, me and my shepherd. I'm just going to go live a solo Christian life, just me and Jesus. But that would be to mistake and miss a crucial truth of the Bible. This is sort of the part two. Jesus is the great shepherd of God's sheep. Secondly, how does Jesus shepherd us? Jesus provides local church elders to shepherd your soul. Jesus provides local church elders to shepherd your soul. Pastor, elder, overseer, synonyms. We see this actually as Jesus rises from the dead and appears to his disciples. Maybe you're doing the church Bible reading plan. John 21, I just read it this last week. Jesus appears to the disciples and tells Peter explicitly, shepherd my sheep. I'm going to rise to heaven, and this is your marching orders, Peter. Shepherd my sheep. John 21, 16. In other words, the apostles were to continue the shepherding ministry of Jesus. And as the apostles died, what do we find them doing? Planting churches. And it's Acts 14, 23. Paul appointed elders in every church as he planted churches. Jesus provides local church elders to shepherd your soul. In fact, it's not just how the narrative progresses. This is what Ephesians chapter 4 teaches. Ephesians 4, verses 7, and I'm going to skip down to verse 11. Paul says, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. In particular, Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Where do local church elders come from? It's not a popularity contest. It cannot be achieved by completing a class at seminary or reading the Bible a certain number of times. Where do local church elders come from? They come from Jesus. Now, all Christians have been given gifts for service in the body. That's part of what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4. But in particular, he focuses on those gifts that Jesus gives that equip the body for works of service, ministry of the word that we need to feed our souls. This is what Jesus has done by his victorious resurrection from the dead. And this is what Jesus continues to do throughout the world, giving local church elders to shepherd God's people. I look back and the last time I preached on local church elders. Actually, it wasn't very long ago. Some of you may remember, just about 3 years ago. And I looked at that sermon and I noticed my theme of my sermon was essentially on authority. Who has authority in the life of the local church? And a big part of that answer is going to be local church elders. Local church elders. But I realized this week, if you're to preach a topic like eldership and focus only on authority, and try to get our rules and structures and programs exactly right, line it all up, right with Scripture, which is not a bad thing, don't get me wrong, it would be like someone that's trying to learn to swing dance by reading a book. In other words, they can read how the steps are supposed to work and memorize all the rules, but if you never actually turn on the music and start dancing, then something has gone terribly wrong. So a church that tries to get all their rules exactly right and get the authority structures in their church exactly right, but forgets the bigger picture that Jesus gives local church elders to care for and bless your soul. That's just like somebody reading about dancing in a book that never actually goes dancing. The heart of church leadership, the gospel of church leadership, is Jesus working through qualified elders to care for your soul. How do we experience the life of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, it's not by going off by yourself or in a dark room and having a perfectly one-on-one relationship with God. In part, Jesus is doing that work, bringing you those blessings through local church elders. Okay, here's a question. If I really believed this, I would... Let me give you some ideas. If I really believed this, I would join a church and become a member. Let me make that connection. I mean, formal membership. I would want to clarify with actual elders that you are my pastor and you're going to watch over my soul and not just hope that that happens maybe incidentally or on the side. If I really believe that Jesus is working through local church elders to care for the souls of believers, I would want to make sure that that was a clear relationship. If I really believed that this is true, secondly, I would let my elders into my life. Let my elders into my life. I don't know how many times in my ministry where it's happened that people have major difficulties going on in their life. I mean, just life-destroying problems. And they come week by week with a nice smile on their face. Everything's great. No problems. Nope, don't really want to meet for coffee this week. Everything is good. Really happy. Until it's not. Until it's uncontainable and uncontrollable and the life just blows apart. Let your elders in. I wondered this, and don't hear what I'm not saying. It's not a critique of professional counseling or therapy. I wonder how many people are in some kind of professional counseling or therapy, Christians, that would tell everything to their therapist and be absolutely transparent and honest. And will tell nothing to their pastors. Just posing that question. And I wonder, if that's you, maybe, what does that show about what you are trusting in? What does that show about where your trust lies? Just posing a question. Thirdly, if I really believe that Jesus provides local church elders to care for my soul, thirdly, I would expect correction and challenge from my elders. I would expect correction and challenge from my elders. You're just like good dads and healthy families will at times correct and discipline their children. Like, hey, that's not okay. I don't want you to do that anymore. Or, hey, you need to try harder. It happens all the time and it's healthy. This is what makes ordinary healthy families. Well, so in God's family, in God's house, expect correction and challenge from your elders. It's actually an act of love. It's constructive criticism. It's part of our role in your life to help you flourish and grow as a believer. Fourthly, if I really believe this was true, I would pay careful attention to the teaching of my local church elders. I don't just mean Sunday morning sermons, although I do mean that. But I mean teaching that can happen over a cup of coffee at Starbucks, or in a Sunday school class, or a small group setting. I would pay careful attention to the teaching of my local church elders. We know, I speak for all of us, we are not John MacArthur. We are not Alistair Begg. We're not Matt Chandler. We will never be on the radio. We know that. If you wanted to hear the best sermon ever, well, there's a lot of places you can turn. It probably isn't going to be your Sunday morning sermon, okay? I get that. But I believe that Jesus calls local church elders to care for my soul, my soul. Matt Chandler is not my elder. John Piper is not my elder. I have elders here. I better pay very careful attention to what they are trying to teach me if I believe what the Bible says. Can I just address Joe for a moment? Joe, this is what you're signing up for. To care for blood-bought saints who will live forever. To love, for Christ's sake, sons and daughters of God, adopted by God through Jesus. To care like Jesus cares and to care for Jesus' sake as a steward over his house. To be an elder is not about meetings or agendas or votes or reports. You are not joining the board of a nonprofit corporation. You are opening your life, your home, your schedule, and your heart to people for their spiritual good. And I want you to know, as a whole church, that is the heart of our elders here at Three Crosses, to open our lives to you for your spiritual good. What does that mean for the rest of us? Maybe you're not nominated for an elder. Maybe you're a woman. Maybe you don't aspire to be an elder. What is Jesus' call for the rest of the church? I want to close with just two things. Jesus calls every church member to play a part in a culture of biblical eldership. And these are the parts. I'm going to just narrow it down to two things. We've talked about submit or follow the leadership of the elders, but I want to leave you with two other things. Firstly, esteem them highly. Esteem them highly. That's a quote from 1 Thessalonians 5. You might jot this down or maybe turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And I feel sheepish saying this because it sounds self-serving. I'm not angling for some fancy gift in Pastor Appreciation Week. I don't even know when Pastor Appreciation Week is. I'm not trying to get a Christmas bonus. But this is what the Bible says. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. A cross-reference, similar. Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Let them do the work of shepherding with joy and not with sorrow, for that would be of no benefit to you." If you make your pastor's life miserable, it is of no benefit to anybody. When a church leads with honor and respect for the pastors that Jesus has provided, everyone wins and God is glorified. Think about it. Pastors love their work. The church has a healthy culture and people are actually shepherded. I hope that the principles that we're laying down here will be deeply in our hearts and far outlast however many years God calls me here or gives me on this earth. And that 100 years from now, Three Crosses Church, if Jesus hasn't come back, still has a culture of biblical eldership where the congregation as a whole respects those who labor among them for their spiritual good and esteems them very highly in love. Esteem highly. Secondly, evaluate carefully. Evaluate carefully. A few minutes ago, Donna read to us from 1 Timothy chapter 3, qualifications that God lays down in His Word for those who would serve as local church elders. These are not negotiable. These are not suggestions. And our evaluation of elder candidates goes far beyond an initial vote when, for example, in January, we vote on Joe as an elder, but is an ongoing assessment, watching over their lives and characters, and when necessary, correcting people, challenging people. We are sinners like you. We're all sinners. We're all in this together. And we need one another to stay holy and run this race with endurance. Churches can be needlessly critical and mean. I've seen it, where a church body or a part of a church body, a faction, turns against local church elders. I think, though, honestly, more likely the opposite temptation is far more common. That churches love those who serve as elders and are willing to turn a blind eye to all sorts of ugly sin and just give people a pass because, well, I don't want to rock the boat and maybe I'm not seeing things correctly. And just open the newspaper, gosh, every week, some high-profile scandal in Christ Church where a local church elder blows up his spiritual life in his church or his marriage because of unrepentant sin. And you just got to think, who saw it coming ahead of time and didn't say something? How many of these explosions and these you know, horrible scandals could have been avoided if the church took its responsibility seriously to evaluate carefully, given the rubric we have in 1 Timothy 3. All right, that's it. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus provides local church elders to shepherd your soul, and Jesus calls every church member to play a part in a culture of biblical eldership. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, the applications are far and wide, but I pray that you would lead us individually and as a church body to cultivate a culture of biblical eldership. And I pray that you would be glorified, that we would all be shepherded to green pastures, still waters, and paths of righteousness. And I pray that we would be faithful in doing our part. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.